Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Chris Canty is in for Key today. So, Jay, it is kind of messed up.
Why is it messed up?
You're a guest on another show, and the first thing you do is offer them, you're throwing out the first pitch at Citi Field.
Yep, May 31st.
You're like in the rotation practically now at Citi Field. Like you're like the fifth starter. You're a spot
always
starter
in the
for the Mets at this point.
Just waiting, Canty.
Max, don't put that kind of hex on him. He'll end up on the DL.
That's right. Everyone's getting hurt.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. So,
that is a concern.
Accurate. So, Jay, you offer no one on this show an invite, and yet you extend that invite to DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Yes, because I like Dave and Rick.
Who every day, you say you claim to like them, but every day I notice with 10 seconds left in your segment, they ask you for a detailed and nuanced account of what's coming up on our show, and they give you no time to do it.
They do. But you see, they don't yell at me the way Evan yells at me every day. You know, and I see him on the Zoom, and I see the size 4 shoes, and I see Coach Sean McVay.
Sing a little Napoleon complex.
Hey, I'll take Sean McVay, the guy I was being compared to yesterday by Keith. Sean McVay is much better than that.
Watch your emails, cuz.
Watch your emails, cuz.
So, Sean McVay is winning, though.
From the same.
Not just on the field.
From the same coaching tree.
Wait, who did Key compare you to?
Same coaching tree as Sean McVay, just a little higher and, you know, a little more resigny in disgrace.
That's
not good.
Yeah, so Evan and I have a delicate relationship. Yates, I can't even. That's black on black.
All I wanted was the opportunity to say no. Because I don't want to watch any.
See, he wants to tell you no.
People like
he wants
you,
to tell
though,
you
Yates.
No, Jay.
Why
sounds like
why
my
does
wife.
It bother you
because
if you
like,
weren't going to go anywhere? If you were going to decline the invitation, why does it matter that he wasn't going to invite
because
you?
Because you know what?
It's like,
before
like one
before
of
you even
people,
answer that, Yates, you know what
like,
the problem is?
He's like one of them people, Jay, that's like, oh, I'm having a party. I know you're not going to come, so I don't invite you. And you feel away because I know you're not going
to
come.
But, CeCe, this is stuff my wife does to me. You know, and this is why I don't like it. I come here, and I love her. I love being at home.
So,
I want to
so
get
maybe
away
stop
from
extending
sometimes.
The invitations? Is that what you're telling
me
that she's telling
it's
you?
Like, it's like, oh, well, you know, well, you invited them. I want you to think about me. I think about you every day. I just can't. I got lost in the moment with them for a second.
Want it to be thought about.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about right there.
He thought about you.
I thought about you.
The
enough
Phillies
not to
and the
your
Mets
ass.
Are division rivals. You didn't want to step foot in Citi Field.
No. Jay thought about Yates. Jay thought about Evan. Jay thought about Pat and James and thought, I don't like these guys. That's what it is. Why don't you admit it?
I mean, I gave James tickets for him and his son to go see his favorite sport. And this is what I get from him?
But me, Jay. You don't invite me to interrupt you every day.
That's only because
they weren't tickets that you wanted.
Thank you.
That's only because Rick DiPietro couldn't go.
You're going to sit here with a straight face and say you wanted the tickets?
I could have not given the tickets to anybody. I didn't have to think about anybody. Nobody would have won, damn it.
All right, be honest now.
I chose for James to win that day.
Jay, be honest. Before you asked Evan, before you gave Evan, what was the tickets to the Masters?
Well, we were going to go, but I've also sent Evan a bottle of Camus to his house for
forget
him and his
wife. Forget about the Camus for a second.
Yeah, Evan got
to
know how to give him a bottle of Camus.
Dave Rothenberg crossed out on it.
Hold on. I'm going to pin Jay down on this. Hold on. Was Evan the first
you
person?
You pinning me down.
I got a little throat jam
here
swiping at the ball. Just listen to me. Jay?
He's going to pin you down for a throat jam.
I'm good.
Hey, yo.
Oh, my God.
Hey,
Jay.
Yo. Now, listen to me.
Hey, yo.
Don't swipe at the ball. You're going to get a flagrant two. You're
going to
get a flagrant two. A fragrant two, as you said the other day.
Keith said that, not me.
All right. Was Evan, our producer,
okay,
the first person to whom you extended the invite? Yes or no?
To the Masters?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Would you say that if you were under oath?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
You're the only person I extended that to, and we ended up not being able to go because I couldn't get the extra
Was
ticket.
Yates the first person to whom you extended that
hold
invite?
Hold on, Max. Yes. Hold on. Did you not hear that? He offered me a ticket he didn't even have yet.
I had two tickets.
No, man.
See, this is what I have to deal with.
Yeah. It's that kind of
what is going on
that I have to deal with this man.
Right.
The most ungrateful dude there is.
He offered me a ticket. It didn't exist.
I had two tickets, and then I got told that I wasn't able to have two tickets. They would have to give me one, and that would be a chance that they would comp the second one if I got there.
Are you saying you were going to get a kid? Are you saying you're going to get a child's admission for Evan that is uncalled for? And it's ridiculous. You will not be able to get him in with a kid's ticket.
If I use the excuse that I could have gotten a kid's ticket, I may have gotten Evan in. I should have thought about that before.
I would have taken the kid's ticket. It's better than the ticket that he offered me that didn't exist.
Yes, thank you, Jordan.
Thank you, Jordan.
All I know is Jay doing a lot of explaining.
A lot,
and
right?
As Tom Brady once said, if you're always explaining, you're on the losing side of the argument.
Oh.
But just I'm saying. Winning. I've given
you're
them everything.
You're
they
not
give
winning.
Me nothing
you're not
but
winning.
Anger.
You just keep digging that hole deeper and deeper the more
you talk. You shouldn't have said this when we're so close to break. Hey, you shouldn't have done. Let's get
yelling
every day.
Was Yates the first person to whom you extended
1,000%.
And yes,
was there a play in his team?
That is factual. That is factual.
What about James?
James, too. Yeah.
Now, when Jay invites me places, I go.
Yes, we went to a game.
We went to a game.
Yeah, we kicked
it. I went. It was good. It was
exactly.
Fun. Yeah.
I don't hear you complaining, Max.
These guys are all turning you down constantly.
That's ridiculous. That's what I'm saying. This show has no chance of being successful.
Well, by the way, I don't want you to ever invite me to Citi Field. Please do not. I don't even want to go to Citi Field for another event. I don't want anything to do with the Mets. That's right.
Jay, how come I've never even been offered anything?
Yeah, that's true, Pat. You are the last man standing out of this whole equation. But can I ask you, how come you guys haven't offered me anything?
That's a good question.
We're building.
Offered him?
Let's switch it up.
We're building.
We've asked you to come to Bristol a lot, and you never show up for that.
I have.
That's true.
And there's a check attached to that.
You know what? I've offered everybody to come down to my restaurant, have dinner. Nobody's taking me up on offer.
I've never been.
Yeah, you offered that during COVID when no restaurants in New York City were open.
We were open, Evan. We were open.
For takeout?
No, not for takeout, James. You don't even know what restaurant I'm talking about.
Yeah, here you go, guys.
What's the name of the restaurant, James?
I don't know because I've never been invited.
Lies.
Lies, 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 and more lies.
Wait, you got salmon cheesesteaks in that joint, bro?
See, salmon cheesesteaks? What?
I'm just asking questions.
What is a salmon cheesesteaks?
I hate that.
Is that a Philly thing?
I don't know if I want to know. Salmon?
It is elite sandwiches. Right. That doesn't sound appetizing, Yates.
No.
Well, look, man, I'm going to invite y'all down to Norristown. Y'all can slide, and we can grab them together.
All right.
I'm just throwing it out there.
We can slide what?
Slide to Norristown, home of the great Gino Auriemma. Thank you very much.
By the way, you can tune in to an NL battle Sunday as the Cubs host the Dodgers. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and at 7 p.m. on ESPN.
New York Rangers needed that to happen to them. They had to get a little hungrier. They had to get a little meaner. And what they did, they let their big guy out and score some goals, and that's Chris Kreider. Chris Kreider's having a fantastic year to take this win away from Shesterkin and his mates. So good win for the New York Rangers. They knew they needed it. Yep. Couldn't go down 2-0 going back to Pitt. So they're in good shape now. They got to go back and get home ice advantage by winning 2 games.
Oh, gross. Keyshawn, Jay Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers, and Chris Canty is in for Key today. Guys, I love it. New York is buzzing about the Rangers. You see the Yankees showing up to the game. DJ LeMahieu and Aaron Judge.
And Rizzo.
And Anthony Rizzo.
Chugging beers.
I love it. Those guys all play defense, too. They don't just hit, and they're at the Rangers game.
There you go.
Chugging beers. Yeah! Jaeger bombs.
It's kind of one of those things you have to do if you go to a hockey game, right?
Yeah.
You have to chug a beer.
Well, listen, when we talk hockey, we don't just get anyone to come on the show. We get the great Barry Melrose, ESPN NHL hockey analyst. What's up, Barry?
I'm just getting up. That's the only thing getting up so far until I get a coffee in me. But it was quite a night. There was a lot of stuff going on. I heard you guys talking a little bit about the Rangers. It's a great story. Pittsburgh played well again, so there's no reason to think that's not going to be a 6 or 7 game series. And the other games were all awesome, too. So far, the start of the playoffs for the NHL has been very, very good.
Barry, before we even get into this, may I say on SportsCenter last night, your Blazer game, the black and white joint.
Fire.
Very, very strong.
Fire.
Very strong, sir. But getting into this series with the Pens and the Rangers, one of the differences that I saw in game two was that the Rangers were much more intentional about creating traffic in front of Louis Domingue and attacking the glove hand of the goalie and using that to extend their lead late in the second period and into the third period. What were some of the other adjustments that you saw from the Rangers offensively to make sure that they didn't blow a lead in game two?
Much more intense. I think that's one thing I noticed. Every Ranger player, I thought, played with a lot more intensity. You have a goaltender playing that hasn't played a game, I don't think, in the playoffs before, and you let him off the hook. You didn't get enough rubber at him. You didn't put enough men in front of him. I did a few things last night to show the number of people in front on the goals. He had no chance to see in the puck. And Kreider is the leader of that. Chris Kreider is turning into just an unbelievable leader for the New York Rangers and an unbelievable player in the NHL. You know, he's a 40-goal scorer now, 50-goal scorer. But he does other things, too, without the puck and that are just about as important. So that's a guy I really think has changed the way he played in order to become a winner. You see a lot of the great players like Madonna and Yzerman and players like that. They changed how they played and became better two-way player in order to win the Stanley Cup. Kreider is a guy I think is doing the same thing. He's changing the way he's playing in order to become a better winner, and hopefully that'll lead the Rangers to the promised land.
Barry, what were your thoughts on Jeff Carter's penalty late in the third period?
No big deal. You could have gave Shesterkin a penalty also for sticking on his leg. So I think it was, you know, the referees handled it well. Just get the guys off the ice, finish this thing up, and you guys can go at it again in a couple of days. But I don't think it was a big deal. I think there are two guys that just sort of ran into each other, and I said you could blame Shesterkin just about as much as you could blame Carter.
Hey, should the Rangers' kid line play more in Game 3 in Pittsburgh, Barry?
Which line?
The kid line.
Oh, the young guys.
Yeah, Alexis.
I think they should play as much as they deserve. I think that's what you have to teach young guys, that just because you were a first pick overall or a second pick overall doesn't mean that you get to play in the NHL for no reason. And the better those guys play, the more they play and the better they'll become, and they'll make the Rangers a better team down the road. But just because the guy was a high draft pick, there's been a lot of kids ruined because of that fact that he was a high draft pick and he was going to play no matter what. So I think the Rangers are handling things pretty good. They struggled a bit. They were healthy scratch. That's a good wake-up call for them. Jerry Gallant, great coach, demands that they play hard at both ends of the rink, and you're starting to see that happen more and more and more. So I think the Rangers have done a really good job with the kids that they have on their team, and those guys are getting better and better every time I see them play.
Talking with ESPN NHL analyst Barry Melrose on KJM, and Barry, through the first two games, the Pens have had 115 shots on goal. How good has Shesterkin been, and what are the adjustments that the Rangers need to make in the D zone in order for them to tighten it up and make it a little bit easier for their netminder?
I think Shesterkin has been good. I think, you know, that the 79 shots, you know, just means there's a lot of rubber going at them. A lot of them weren't really scoring chances. So I don't get too caught up with the number of shots that he faced in that one game. I think he's been really good. I during the regular season, right going back to early in the season, he was their best player. He made save after save after save. He was stopping 40 shots a night, and the New York Rangers got off to a quick start because of the way he played. So I think everything is really good with him the way he's playing. I thought he was really rock solid last night. But the sign of the times is the New York Rangers don't make him have to stop 45 shots and five or six of them of the spectacular variety. They just demand and ask that he stops the ones he should stop. And when you get a goaltender to that point in his career, then you got something special. And the Rangers are getting that way with Shesterkin. So I think the goaltending has been great. I think he's playing really well. I think he's getting more confident every time you see him play. And as far as Pittsburgh and New York in the neutral zone, I think which team controls the puck better and doesn't make mistakes, that's the team that's going to win. We saw the Pittsburgh makes some bad, glaring mistakes at the blue lines and create turnovers, and the Rangers made them pay. And we saw Sidney Crosby carry the puck up the ice with four New York Rangers around him, and not one of them stopped him, and he ended up going in and scoring an unbelievable goal. So that's just defensive commitment. That's just making sure when Crosby's got the puck, Malkin's got the puck, guys like that, you just don't let them beat you. And make sure that they got to go through one, two, three, sometimes even four guys to get a scoring chance. And when they do that, the New York Rangers are a pretty good hockey club.
Coach, how good was the bread man last night?
He was vintage bread man. He looked like the guy that we've used to see, and the guy that was setting people up, the guy that was getting shot after shot after shot. So I thought Kreider early was the best Ranger got that goal early. And then I thought Panarin got better and better and stronger as the game went on. So that's good news for the Rangers. Those two guys start wanting the puck, getting the puck, and shooting the puck. That's good news for the New York Rangers.
Barry, what's one word that would describe Sidney's goal?
Oh, geez. Vintage. Courageous. He just never gave up on it. And you'd see one Ranger come in and slash him, and then you'd see another Ranger come in and slash him. You'd see another Ranger come in and slash him. You'd see another Ranger skate by him and slash him. And he just kept going. He just kept knocking the puck ahead. And then finally, after this going on for a few seconds, it ended up in the net. It was a magnificent goal. It was just, you know, just shows what makes Sidney Crosby special, and also shows why fans on other teams don't like him, because he does stuff like that too often.
All right, Barry, so vintage was the word to describe Sidney Crosby's goal in the second period. I want you to give me a word that describes Max's new saying. Listen to this.
Throat jammy, the whole thing.
Have you ever heard of a throat jammy before?
Sore throat.
Barry?
No, I don't. What's the word again? I'm sitting in the hotel lobby here.
I said a throat jammy to mean a sore throat. Like, without going into too much description, and they're having a good time with it, Barry. That's what they
want. I've never heard that before.
Thank you. I just want a confirmation that it's never been used before.
That's nice, Coach.
I appreciate you, Coach.
We don't say that in Canada. So everything's okay.
Barry Melrose, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN NHL analyst extraordinaire. Thanks, Barry, as always.
Thanks, Barry.
My pleasure, guys. My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, bro.
Keyshawn J. Willimax is presented by Progressive Insurance.
There's a code that players follow where you never put a guy's season/career in jeopardy.
As someone who handed out a lot of flagrant fouls during my career, unfortunately, he did break the code. This was a lapse in judgment, a dirty play.
I've been talking to people in the Warriors since yesterday, and they were hoping that Brooks would be suspended. Now, of course, we know that he's suspended one game.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, Chris Canty in for Key today, ESPN Radio. Guys, a lot of people get mad when I bring up what I think a certain kind of what's at stake for a player, right? Legacy. No, his legacy is secure. But if you're still active, unless you're really way past your prime, it's not really you anymore, you're still writing your story. Like, sports is the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, right? Winners, losers. We create hierarchies. He's the top 10 of all time, all those things. I'm not just saying there's only downside for Steph. I think there's huge upside for Steph. I think Steph Curry is one of the greatest players who ever lived. But when people like Jay Will say, I'm starting to think about, is he a top 10 player of all time? I think he has to do more to get into that category.
Hmm.
For example, he's been in 5 finals, which is a tremendous accomplishment, largely because of what he created, right? Never won finals MVP. Had one of the worst chokes in the history of American team sports, game 7, fourth quarter, at home on a 73-win team. Wouldn't shoot, missed the shot, threw the ball out of bounds carelessly, etc. And what I'm saying now is this about Steph, guys. They're up playing Memphis. Memphis just almost literally punched them in the mouth and beat them in game 2. Ja's been the best player in both games on the floor. Now they're going back to Golden State. I think if Memphis wins game 3 at Golden State, they're going to win the series. So it's based on this premise. And usually, anyway, the winner of game 3 and when the series is knotted oftentimes goes on to win. It's a very high percentage. I think Steph needs to be the best player on the floor. I think if Ja, if we're talking Ja after the game and he's the best player on the floor, I think Memphis wins, and I think Memphis wins the series. And this is a guy Steph's size. It's not even LeBron or KD or 7-footer.
Yeah.
Steph's got to be the best player on the floor, Jay, for his legacy.
So here is one factor of your argument that I will agree with. Because I was the one that said, hey, like, is Steph top 10 all time if he gets another championship, right? And we're starting to talk about him in that type of vein. We have to start holding Steph accountable similar to how we hold Bron accountable, right? So when Bron has bad games or things don't go like we, the national media goes at LeBron. Doesn't feel like they carry the same venom for Steph. And I don't know why that is. Maybe because Steph isn't as outspoken, CC, as LeBron is on different social issues or things, even though he is in his own way. Or maybe we don't look at him as like the greatest player of all time. He's not in that debate, so he doesn't carry. But we're still talking about him potentially top 15 greatest players of all time. So why isn't there that same kind of sense of urgency when it comes time to discuss Steph Curry and him not being big in those moments?
Because Steph Curry didn't have to go anywhere to figure out how to win championships. He did it in Golden State. And I think people have a different level of respect for him because that happened. And then beyond that, Max, Steph Curry revolutionized how the game is played today.
Beyond question.
No question about
beyond
it.
Question.
I mean, he made the wide open three on the fast break a good shot.
Big imagination. Like any real revolutionary player, his imagination was big enough and his belief in himself was big enough to totally change the game.
No question about it. Yeah. And so I think that's why we don't have the same kind of smoke for Steph Curry that we do for LeBron James or some of the other superstars.
At Golden State, the only reason they won in 15 is because the second and third best players on the Cavs got hurt. It still went
six. But that's a part
games.
Of it, though, Max. That's yeah, a part,
it
of,
is part of it.
I mean, you can go nitpick throughout all of the championships
no,
that have ever been
something.
Won and say, well, if this guy hadn't have gotten hurt or this guy hadn't have got hurt for this team, maybe the player that ultimately ended up winning the championship.
Or if Draymond doesn't kick somebody, he doesn't get ejected.
Exactly.
Like, okay, but they still
game, I was it's a hypothetical we'd never be able to prove.
I went to that game on my own dime. I knew it was going to be an all-time classic game. Game 7, 73-win team. Can they replace the Bulls, win a championship, the whole thing? I bought great seats, the whole thing. Last 422 of the game, I think it was even a little more, they didn't score a point. And Steph was a big part of the reason why. And Dre was going to get MVP if they had one. But LeBron got it and deserved it. And all I'm saying is this about Steph. Magic Johnson, when he entered the league, he was 19. By the time the finals rolled around, as a rookie, he was 20. Kareem got hurt. He jumped at center.
Mm-hmm.
Gave him 42, 15, and 7 in the win.
And a hell of a sky hook, by the way.
Oh, little baby hook, junior hook, whatever you call
whatever
it.
Whatever it was.
Right, baby
it wasn't
hook.
Kareem, but it was close.
But so, like, Michael Jordan, this resume, come on, he came through every single day. Ridiculous, right?
Yep.
You can go on and on with the great Larry Bird, greatest player in the league. It came up huge in the finals. Those are the guys I think that Steph ought to be compared to based on his greatness. But until he does it in moments like this, right now, you can't lose to Memphis. Gotta win this.
Well, here's my thing. Look, I picked Memphis to get to the NBA Finals. I hope I am right. That means I win two Tom Ford suits from Stephen A. Smith, which
is
incredible.
Wow.
Especially beat the Warriors. But I'm not worried as much about Steph being incredible right now for them to win. I don't think he has to be incredible. But I will tell you, Max, your defining moment that you talk about wanting to have from him will be in the next series when they play the Phoenix Suns, if that happens. Because that's CP3 fighting for his legacy, a first championship, and that is the arch nemesis of Stephen Curry. That is the series we should be focused on, whether he shows up or not.
But I think that's even bigger for CP3.
I agree with
you. If you redid the 2018 NBA draft, guys, is it a no-brainer that Luka Doncic would be the top pick? That's next on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
If only I could remember what segment we're going to play today. Oh, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio Series XM Channel 80. Chris Canty in for Key today. And it's time for Take It or Shake It, brought to you by Grainger.
Yes, Baker Mayfield will be on the Browns this season, Jay. Take it or shake it?
Shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it. Shake that.
I see him being on the roster until a team's in dire need, and then they'll get him off. I mean, but I don't see him actually participating or being in the locker room. Like, he'll be off to the side because that's where he should be, and that'll be the best for the overall chemistry and mental health of the team.
Yeah, I'm with Jay on this one. The opposite of take it, Baker Mayfield is not going to be on the team. They're just trying to smoke out everybody else and wait for a better offer, better return, and they don't want to have to eat any of the $19 million that he's owed in salary.
I'm with Chris.
And me.
That's it.
Yes.
And Jay.
We're all on the same
page.
Well,
no, you don't give me invites, so I'm with Chris.
What? Jeez.
Not invited.
Evan, next up.
Steph Curry is a top 10 player, Jay. Take it or shake it. All time. All time.
All time? I'll say shake it.
Shake it.
Gosh, he gets horrible injury.
Shake it.
I can't. I feel like he's on the verge for me. Right now, yes. For me, he's like 11, 12.
Yes.
I think if he wins another championship, and obviously as his career continues to go on and he breaks more records, inevitably he will be top 10 of all time.
Yeah, I agree with that, which is why I want to reject the question, because I don't want to disparage Steph Curry.
I don't want to disparage him either. Top 10 is tough to get into.
I think
Tim Duncan sweating, because that's probably the guy who gets dropped off of people's top 10, right?
But it's like when you say LeBron's not the greatest. Okay, LeBron, you're number two.
Right.
Like, it's like, wow.
Hey, if I were Jay, I'd be like, oh, you called him number two.
But it just feels wrong, Jay, not to include the greatest shooter of all time in the top 10
who are you
the
taking
game
out?
Has ever seen.
So that becomes a question. Who are you taking out?
Jay, I don't want to do that because
there's only 10 slots.
I understand that. I understand the exercise. All I'm saying is Steph Curry's career isn't over, and if he gets if he gets another championship ring or two, it could change.
Listen, okay. I don't know how things work in afternoon drive, but here we disparage players.
Jeez.
Let's go, Evan.
Chris Canty. Going to go to you first on this one. Chris Canty likes the Eagles more than the Cowboys and Giants this year. Take it or shake it.
You gonna take that?
I am going to take it.
Take that, John. Take that, John.
I like the Eagles. I like what they did in day one of the NFL draft. Not only getting Jordan Davis to pair with Javon Hargrove. Guys, that's 700 pounds a man in the middle of that Eagles defense. You're going to have the flexibility now to use Fletcher Cox as a situational pass rusher, which at this stage in his career is probably in his best interest, but also making the move to get A.J. Brown. You got A.J. Brown, one of the best, if not the best, possession receiver in the entire NFL. He's going to dominate when it comes to those intermediate routes. And the biggest impact that I think A.J. Brown could potentially have is not on Jalen Hurts, but it's on Devontae Smith, because now you're talking about him being covered by the number two corner by opposing defenses. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I'm going to shake it. I don't think Chris Canty does think this. Go ahead.
Yeah, all I'm going to say is, wow, Jalen Hurts in his second year of being a full-time starter is going to be on a team better than Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott, who got the bag.
Yeah.
They built a team. Howie Roseman did it again. Yeah. He built a strong team.
You know
team.
How disgusting I feel right now saying I like the Eagles more than the Cowboys and the Giants?
I hate them both.
Two teams I used to cash checks for?
Well, no, it's really the Cowboys. It's not really the Giants.
Like,
the Giants really are in the Cowboys.
But between the Cowboys
disgusting.
And the Eagles, I root for the Eagles over the Cowboys.
Listen, Jay, if you're a Giants fan, then you realize there's levels to this. We might hate the Cowboys, but the hate for the Philadelphia Eagles.
No, I disagree.
It's deep rooted. It's almost like, you know, you'd go into Duke hating Carolina.
No, like, wait a minute. You think the hate is greater for the Eagles than the Cowboys?
No doubt.
The Eagles are a bigger thorn in our side than the Cowboys.
No. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. I hate the Eagles more than I hate. Listen, there's one thing that Cowboys fans and Giants fans have in common. They hate the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
Hate
Eagles fans are like Pat Costello. They're just
I could never root for the Cowboys under any circumstances.
I'm glad you brought up Eagles fans. Speaking of Eagles fans, take a listen to Hembo. He's part of hashtag Greeny. Here's hashtag Hembo and hashtag Greeny talking about the 2018 NBA draft on their show earlier this week.
In 2018, the first pick was DeAndre Ayton. Does anyone not think that Luka would be the first pick if we drafted
today? Yeah, and then Trae Young would be next.
Probably so.
Now, Ayton is really good, and he's a and you know, they tend to take the seven-footer.
Mm-hmm.
And Ayton is a very good player, and they almost won a championship with him in this last year, and they might again. But clearly, Nuno, it's not even worth talking about, right? Luka would be the first pick in that draft.
Hey, Greeny, it is worth talking about. Hembo, I disagree with you. I think DeAndre Ayton would still be the first pick if it was the Suns. So I'll ask you guys, Luka would be the first pick in the 2018 NBA redraft. Take it or shake it, Jay.
I'll shake it.
What?
Because
shake that,
people are going to say, Luka, because he's so talented. But also, the pick is about fit, right? So I don't like Luka with Devin Booker because of Luka's ability to handle the ball and hold on to it, similar to James Harden. CP3 coming to Phoenix is the best thing that could have happened to Devin Booker's career. It taught him how to lead, and it taught him how to be a potential champion. And I think DeAndre Ayton fits into that piece way better than Luka ever would have.
Knowing what we know now, you take Luka and trade him for DeAndre Ayton and two other guys. Luka is a much better and more valuable player than DeAndre.
Let me ask you guys this question. I mean, we're not just talking about the 2018 draft. Let's look at the last five drafts.
Yeah.
Is there any doubt that Luka Doncic would be the number one pick?
The only question would be the Ja Morant draft. And Tatum.
But still.
Those three.
The poll that we had by basketball executives that are affiliated with ESPN said that under the age of 25, I mean, unanimously, Luka Doncic is the best
player. I don't know if I agree with that, though. Ja is right there, and Tatum is right there.
And I think what you're starting to see is Tatum ascend because of what you're seeing from him defensively. And what you're not seeing from Luka defensively. Luka is being targeted every possession.
Yeah, but Jason Tatum, in all fairness, has a lot more help. Tatum doesn't have to be the primary defender on a superstar all the time.
That's where you
got Jaylen Brown. You got Al Horford. You got Grant Williams. You got a ton of bodies that you can throw.
But Chris, primary defender on a superstar. They're running everybody at Luka. He can't stop anybody.
By the way, I know.
And he's big.
I understand.
And by the way, speaking of Philly could have got Jason Tatum. Missed on that.
Yeah,
they traded up.
They traded to not get him.
To get Markelle Fultz.
Markelle Fultz.
Well, listen, the Lakers didn't do any better. They took Lonzo at number two.
Well, who would you have taken at number two? Hold on.
I'd rather take Tatum.
Well, yes. But Lonzo, right. Same draft. Yeah. But Lonzo's not
three.
A bad pick at two.
Is that a trick question, Max?
Right. Right. I forgot it was the same draft. But the point is, the difference is Lonzo's not a bust at two.
He's not a bust, but he ain't Tatum.
Tatum is better than Lonzo.
Bust.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That word is outlawed. We're not using bust on this show.
Yeah, I am. You don't have to.
No, we're not using bust.
Oh, I'm using it.
We're not using bust. No.
Bust the bus.
No.
Bust the bus right now.
The only bus we're talking about on this show is in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay.
That's a good line. Yeah. All right.
And Fultz is okay. Yeah, but anyway.
All right, last one. Take it or shake it. It's brought to you by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is always there to help. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Canty and Carlin would beat KJM in a 2-on-2 basketball game. Yeah, we know KJM's going to beat Barton Hahn, but how about Canty and Carlin? Jay, take it or shake it. They would beat you guys.
I'll shake that, man.
Shake that.
I'm going to target Carlin like Luka gets targeted defensively. We are getting switches, and we're getting the matchups we want.
Let me tell you. First of all, I'm going to take it. And second of all, Jay, I'm not going to lose this game if we played you guys. I might not win it, but I'm not going to lose
it. What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
I'm going to explain to you what it means. If I don't win, ain't nobody going to win.
What?
Ain't nobody going to finish the damn game.
That's what's going to happen.
The football guy's always thugging, man. The football guy's always like, I'm going to injure
Max,
you.
You can't foul out in 202.
And low-key, he would
Let's take it to West 4th Courts. Let's go.
And low-key, he would take the bet for the over or injuries as well. So he wins double time.
See, you know the problem with that is, Jay? I'm the kind of guy that doesn't mind hurting myself if it means I hurt you.
Jeez, what?
That's my mentality. Tackle, man. That's my mentality.
It's called commitment.
I'll hurt myself if that means I hurt you too.
Is what it is. Why you won a Super Bowl? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance.
You can thank me now.
Hey, is there an NFL team?
Super Bowl?
Yes, for a Super Bowl.
Is there an NFL team essentially tanking for 2023?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
What's going on, guys?
We are doing a radio show.
We are doing a radio show.
What is going on?
Well, because it's weird. When we do this, there's no music. There's no nothing. It's just go.
You're fine.
It's a cappella.
So,
there we go.
What?
Yates, that's the one where you start doing the leg in and out. You start getting really low to the ground.
Which one is the stanky leg for you, Jay?
It's probably the right leg.
It's the right leg.
It's the healthy leg, yeah.
It gets extra stanky in it.
So I did not, I admit, I did not know it was Justin Bieber who did this. I just saw, some guy's introducing Tom Brady. I recognize, that's Justin Bieber. So they're on TikTok, him and Tom Brady, and it's basically truth or dare, but it's just truth. You got to tell the truth. Like, what's something you don't want to admit?
I hate that game.
Brady said the following.
I play this game for the dares, not the truth.
We can't play this game no more.
And Brady said this.
New trend alert. Tell me something honest.
Tuckrow game against the Raiders.
Might have been a fumble.
So he admits that may have been, which, come on, we know what that means. Mm-hmm. A fumble, the Tuck rule game. Is there some kind of sports truth that you don't want to admit? But it's like, all right, here it is. It could be about yourself. It could be about something else.
Yeah, the amount of NBA players that get the Beijing. Do you know what the Beijing is, Max?
What's the Beijing, Jay?
Beijing is like the spray paint that kind of imitates the hairline on the hair.
The boozer. Mm-hmm.
Like, Yates, you said boozer. Dude, I got to do it to my guy. Like, I don't know. How does it not, like, if you wipe off the sweat, how does it not bleed onto the skin or the outfit? It's just, I don't get it. Jay's asking
because he's like, because if you can tell me how.
I'm baldy, man. I'm good. I ain't trying to fake that out here.
Jay's going
to
wind up with a spray painted head.
You got to the point where you're accepting it now.
I'm cool. Like, I think I look better without hair, actually.
There you go.
A lot of people do. It's true. The baldy is a good look.
Yeah.
Easy for a guy that has perfectly coiffed hair to make that claim.
I had a baldy in the past.
You had a bald hair?
Yeah, man. In the summertime, I used to shave my head. A shave it bald. That's
CeCe,
right.
Have you ever seen
shave your head?
Have you ever seen Max freestyle?
I'm so fascinated by this, Max. Like, how would that work out walking around New York City with a bald head as a white man?
It's fine. I mean, it was all hip hoppy. You know what I'm saying?
The last part was the part of, as a white man.
I don't know. But back then,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
my suspicion is people thought I was like maybe Puerto Rican or Dominican or something like that.
Yeah.
In the summertime, especially.
Because
you know?
I can see some people staring at you giving you that American history excellence.
Oh, no, one like that. Oh, okay.
By the way, CeCe, have you heard Max Freestyle?
I still haven't
Max,
heard him
drop
freestyle.
This man a bar real quick.
I'm not going to do it with the mics on.
Real quick, man. Come on, real quick, man. Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to do it with the mics on.
You can't make it PG.
You have to be very careful with freestyle on a live
mic.
Yeah, exactly. Very careful.
Yeah, yes. Right.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you missed Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this week, you missed a lot.
The New York Jets, the big green machine, they get back into the first round at 26 and pick up Jermaine Johnson, that's Michael's brother. There's no way he played football. Jermaine Johnson.
Diana Russini.
What's up with the DMs, Di?
Nobody messages me like, man, I love your knowledge. You really put Max in his place. Everyone's like, your toes are sexy.
I've been lying because I drink espresso martini with tequila. Instead of vodka.
So, you're a coffee drinker.
No, I'm not. It's different. That's different.
If you have vodka Red Bull, are you having a Red Bull?
No.
Yes.
Billy, you're so stupid.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, your smart speakers. Chris Canty in for Key today. What do we talk about now, guys?
Fans
have voted.
1, 2, 3, win.
Brady's TikTok game? Nope, only 14% said Brady's TikTok game. What else we got, Evan?
Play that, Yates.
We
play
had it. A few other options. For example, a used Lamborghini. 23% said used Lamborghini. Mets comeback. 29% said Mets comeback.
Interesting.
But 34%, and therefore we will talk about it, Seahawks quarterback situation.
I thought we were going to talk about the story that I have, spinning off of the conversation you guys had about Keys coffee martinis.
What's that?
I had an interesting experience. Uh-huh. Red Bull and vodka.
Okay.
You know, up or downer.
Kind of like,
up or downer, yeah.
Yeah, with Mark Cuban at NBA All-Star Weekend in Houston in 2006.
Look at you name dropping. Continue.
No, well,
go back 16 years.
First of all, I don't know if I can continue the story on air.
Oh, I just did that math in my head.
It was just highly entertaining.
Oh.
Yeah, highly entertaining. It's one of those I got to tell y'all once we're off the air.
I appreciate those concoctions, the Red Bull vodka or the espresso martini.
It's not a good idea,
but I'll tell you why.
It's not a good
idea. I am so old now that if I have one or two drinks, I have to go to sleep immediately.
I
need just something to keep me awake.
I will just say this. Like, I learned my lesson the hard way. Putting a stimulant with a depressant is never a good way to go.
I disagree.
Never, no.
If I give any depressant, I'm going right to sleep. I get up at 3:30 every morning. I'm not asleep till 10 o'clock.
I just don't see how tequila is a depressant. I never had tequila.
You never feel depressed?
Like I'm tired.
I will say this.
I'm hyped.
You have it when you are depressed to not be depressed.
I
might not be
up.
Depressed in the moment, but tequila has led to a lot of the worst decisions I've ever made in my life.
All right.
So that ultimately depressed me.
Some people are legit, like, I cannot have gin. I'm allergic to it. Like, I have bad reaction to only that kind of alcohol. So maybe you have a bad reaction to tequila.
It's usually a good reaction. I'm just talking about
people end up having bad reactions to my reaction on tequila. How about that?
You know who else's reaction? But no.
All right.
The people say we must speak about the Seahawks and their quarterback situation. So why not let Pete Carroll do it on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM?
I don't see us, you know, making a trade for anybody at all. I don't see that happening. But we're certainly going to continue to be open to the chances to help our club. And meanwhile, we're just going to be battling and competing our tails off. But that, you know, there's always possibilities. So we keep open to that.
All right. Well, you think maybe it's a CJ Stroud move? So they're going to start guys who can't play?
I mean, it's always a possibility. But this is Pete Carroll's first double-digit loss season since he took over in Seattle. And I don't see the oldest coach in the National Football League being willing to go through a multi-year rebuild. I think this is going to be a situation where they're going to assess their options going into training camp to see if the San Francisco 49ers or the Cleveland Browns come down on their trade demands for the
quarterbacks.
Not
going to be the Niners that's in the division, right?
Yeah, but I mean, if you offer the Niners a premium pick, say you give them a second-round pick, what are the Niners going to do? For Jimmy Garoppolo?
Know what I think it is, guys? I think it's Baker. I think they're going to grab Baker.
Let me ask you this question, Max. Would you rather have Jimmy Garoppolo over Baker if you're Pete Carroll?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Garoppolo over a lot of guys. You guys would say, no, I'd rather have the other guy. I'm very high on Garoppolo.
Okay.
But I think they're going to grab Baker, and I think the thought will be there will be guys that come available, don't have to be in the draft, as reclamation projects next year because we have a lot of make-or-break quarterbacks this year, right? Will Daniel Jones or Tua or Hurts or Jameis Winston. Will someone like that become available after the year? So you see how Baker does, and if that ain't enough, you might draft someone, or you might be able to grab someone.
You see, Max, I think we're closer to the conversation about when Pete Carroll's going to retire. Like, I think like it's when I start hearing all these names and I start hearing what Seattle has to do and what kind of guy could they wait to get. Like, if you're Pete Carroll, you're getting to the point where, like, oh, I had a great run. Do I want to keep treading water to wait to see what's like? How much longer, Pete?
But that's why I said they would probably want to go for a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo. And to pry him loose, it'd have to be a premium draft pick because it's in the division. Because here's the thing.
Still, after this season,
if San Francisco holds on to Garoppolo, Garoppolo can just march over to Seattle unencumbered as a free agent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're San Francisco, you have a responsibility to
only
do
if
everything,
that's the only offer for him.
Exactly. To do everything that's in the best interest of your organization.
That's around. Garoppolo will come back and beat you in the playoffs.
Here's the thing. And I hear you on that, but you already made that decision when you traded three number ones for Trey Lance. Mm-hmm. You knew that you were going to move off him.
Do you think Seattle has another Super Bowl run in them in the next 4 to 5 years?
Man, hell no.
So,
not in that division. Is too much to forecast.
Not in that division, though.
In four to five years,
the Rams are going to use all next four first-round draft picks to bring over more star players and keep retooling.
4 to 5 years in the NFL's lifetime.
They just signed Matt Stafford to a four-year contract.
What do you know about the NFL, Chris Canty?
Great point, Max.
You ever simulate Madden in franchise mode?
I have, actually.
I love when Max
But did you win the Super Bowl?
Did you win a Super Bowl?
Actually happened.
Damn it!
That happened.
I didn't actually play anyone. I just simulated it against the computer itself. You know.
Yeah.
Tune in to an NL Battle Sunday as the Cubs host the Dodgers. Coverage on Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and at 7 p.m. on ESPN. Happy weekend, everyone!
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.